This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we'll begin today with the latest upheaval in Washington following the resignation of President Donald Trump's National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn. Flynn stepped down after revelations that he misled Vice President Mike Pence and other top White House officials about his conversations with Russia's ambassador last December. It was a dramatic breach of protocol, especially because he apparently discussed sanctions against Russia before Trump became president. Today, the White House said that President Trump was informed weeks ago that Flynn had not told the truth about talking about his talks with the ambassador. In a minute, we'll hear from Trump supporters here in Massachusetts about what they think of the president's first 3 weeks in office. But first, from Washington, Matt Visor, Deputy Washington Bureau Chief of the Boston Globe. Matt, always good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Anthony.
So Flynn is out. Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg has been named acting National Security Advisor in the interim. But this sounds like major disarray in the NSC right now. Bring us up to date on the latest fallout today from this event.
So we, of course, last night had Mike Flynn's resignation. Today, there's been a lot of fallout with some Republicans in Congress calling for further investigations into the phone calls and things that led to his ouster. Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, had a briefing earlier this afternoon where he made clear that the problem in the White House's view was not the phone call and these conversations that Mike Flynn had with the Russian ambassador to the United States in December, where sanctions are believed to have come up. The problem in the White House's view was not those calls and conversations. The problem was him lying and not claiming that he misremembered those calls,
right,
talking to Mike Pence, the vice president. So they don't have a problem with his actions that, beforehand. They have a problem with what he did in trying to cover up some of those things.
Yeah,
bit striking.
Yeah, it is striking. And Mike, I was struck. I find this striking as well, that the White House said today that President Trump was informed weeks ago that Flynn had likely not told the truth about this.
That's right. At least sort of 17 days is sort of the time period where President Trump has known about this. Sean Spicer's claim is that they had to have some time to investigate and make sure that this was the case. For Democrats and others, that doesn't really add up. The president knew about this and really acted after public pressure came out. The Washington Post had a story a couple days ago that revealed that these conversations, and that Mike Pence believed he had been lied to. Only after that did the pressure ratchet up on Mike Flynn to resign.
Mm. So you mentioned that some folks in Congress, I guess chiefly Democrats, are calling for a deeper investigation. I know that Elizabeth Warren sort of sent out a tweet storm today, asking questions like, when did the White House know that Flynn lied? What other contacts with Russia occurred during the campaign? Who knew what? Who approved what? So where is Warren and perhaps other Democrats, where are they going with all of these questions? Where do they want to go with these questions?
They are calling for investigations, and they're trying to make this issue not just about Mike Flynn, but about a culture within the White House, sort of this mentality that allowed these relationships with Russia is one area that they're going. The idea of not telling the truth is another area they're going. They're also asking the question of who knew what when. Did President Trump know about this phone call and this talk of sanctions in December when it occurred? So there's a lot of questions that Democrats are raising. They, of course, don't control the House or the Senate, so they need Republicans to also be raising some alarms. And there's some early signs of some Republicans, being concerned. The issue of Russia sort of animates certain segments of the Republican Party. John McCain today has talked about the Trump Trump administration's national security apparatus being in disarray. So there is some concern being voiced by Republicans. It's still a little bit early to tell whether that will lead to any sort of in-depth investigation.
Mm. I want to ask you about a tweet from President Trump this morning. He tweeted out, "The real story here is why are there so many illegal leaks coming out of Washington? Will these leaks be happening as I deal on North Korea, et cetera?" What's he referring to there, and what do you make of that tweet?
There are, in fact, a lot of leaks. It is sort of striking the way that we are seeing some decisions within the White House kind of discussed in real time. I mean, it's not rare for there to be some sort of infighting within an administration. It's not rare for people to talk about that. But what is rare is for some of these things to be coming out daily. You know, there's different warring factions within Trump's administration, and so you're sort of seeing the results of that in public view. Some of the leaks that he's talking about, we've seen, you know, the Washington Post had a transcript of a call that President Trump had with his counterpart in Australia. The Associated Press had a similar transcript of a call with the Mexican president. You know, these are sort of things that are kept very tightly often. You know, we don't see that. So those are rare, you know, to be seeing those things unfold. But the tweet, you know, is sort of a diversionary tactic, I think, from President Trump to get people talking about something different than Mike Flynn, you know, sort of as his own administration is a little bit in chaos.
Yeah, well, let me ask you one last question about that chaos, about the fallout over the resignation of Michael Flynn. Does this feel to you like a sort of regular, I mean, what's become a kind of regular bump in the road that seems to happen just about every day in the Trump administration? Or does this feel like something bigger, like a major pothole or sinkhole? I mean, where does this go from here?
It does seem bigger. I mean, what we know about Donald Trump is he tends to not back down, you know, and tends to not sort of shift gears that often. He did that a couple of times during his campaign. He had different campaign managers who would, you know, be removed, and somebody new would come in. But this is extraordinary given the world events right now. Trump talked about ISIS a lot in the campaign trail. There's concerns about Russia and building a wall in Mexico, you know. So to have a national security advisor leave 3.5 weeks into the administration is somewhat striking, given that President Trump also does not have his full team yet in place. There's still cabinet secretaries. His labor secretary in particular is being discussed this week and has met some resistance from Republican senators. So there's a lot going on right now that does make this feel like an unusual moment this early in the administration.
Extraordinary times indeed. That's Matt Visor, Deputy Washington Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe. Matt, as always, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
The resignation of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn is the latest setback for President Trump. It follows a controversial immigration order that sparked protests across the country and a decision by a federal appeals court to block it, at least temporarily. And it comes as Senate Democrats continue to slow down the approval of Trump's cabinet picks. But to his supporters, President Trump is fulfilling many of his campaign promises. And we want to check in with some of those folks right here in Massachusetts. Tom Mountain is chairman of the Newton Republican City Committee and a Trump supporter. I first met him at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. And Tom, it's good to have you back on Radio Boston.
Thank you, Anthony. It's a pleasure.
And Janet Fogarty of Weymouth is a state committee woman for the Massachusetts Republican Party. She was a delegate for Trump. And Janet, welcome to you as well. It's good to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So first, I'll start with you, Tom Mountain. Your response to the news today of the resignation of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and the apparent, what sounds to many people, the apparent disarray within the National Security Council. Does this raise concerns? What's your response?
No, not in the least. And I wouldn't even call it a setback, or I wouldn't even use the word disarray, mainly because whenever you put together such a huge team of cabinet officials and White House staff, inevitably some are just not going to work out. That can be the case in any type of government and certainly in business. And so this, while it was disappointing that General Flynn didn't work out, better to get it out of the way now rather than deal with these issues 6 months to a year later.
Right. Janet, what's your take?
Well, I think that it was the right thing to do, but I think that he's already put in place an interim national security advisor, and you know, he's staying the course with how he has started his administration, and he's coming out fast and getting his agenda moving. So,
and I want to ask you more about that agenda and the pace with which he's getting that agenda moving. But let me ask you one more question about the Flynn case. And that is, what we know so far is that Flynn did talk to the Russian ambassador about a number of things, including sanctions, before President Trump was inaugurated. And that's the problem. But I guess the question that remains is, did other members of the administration know about this? So I'll start with you, Janet. Are you all concerned, at all concerned, that this could go deeper, broader, be a bigger problem?
I'm not really concerned with that at this point. I think that, you know, there is obviously a lot of ongoing speculation and investigation, whatever, into the implied interference from Russia into the election. And this is still kind of going on that path. And there will be a complete investigation, I'm sure. So
right.
I'm not concerned about it.
What about you, Tom?
No, there's no evidence that this is the a trend or even the beginning of a trend. I see it as really an isolated incident. And the president was very wise to take care of it immediately by accepting the resignation of General Flynn. And hopefully within a week, we will have put it behind us.
And
so,
go
ahead, Janet. Yeah.
I'd just like to add that we really don't know a lot at this point. You know, a lot of it is just speculation and by the media. And there's so much that we don't know. We don't know how those leaks came out.
Well, I agree with that. I think there is a lot that we don't know. And with at least a couple of investigations still ongoing in Congress, I think we're going to learn more. But that remains to be seen. Let me ask you both a very general question and answer it any way you want. How do you think President Trump is doing so far? Tom, is he meeting your expectations?
He's meeting them, and I wouldn't even say exceeding them, because Donald Trump is a man of his word. We knew, and during the campaign, that what he said he was going to do, he will do, and he is doing. So my expectations, our expectations, have certainly been met. And when I hear people surprised that he's suddenly putting into play what he said he was going to do, such as putting in play a 90-day waiting period for immigrants from seven countries and putting and halting the refugee program for 120 days. These are things that he talked about, elaborated on without going into specifics. I think what we're looking at is really an extraordinary acceleration of a president who is a doer rather than a talker. And what you're seeing now in the first 100 days, most presidents wouldn't accomplish in the first 100 days of what Donald Trump has done in the first few weeks.
Well, you brought up the issue of immigration. So let me ask you about that. I mean, of course, there have been protests. We've got the Federal Appeals Court in San Francisco that didn't lift the stay. So for at least the time being, that order is blocked. Respond to concerns by some, including Democrats in Congress, that this order runs counter to long-held American values. Here's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer speaking on CBS Face the Nation on Sunday.
It's just un-American and unconstitutional. A religious ban is just goes against the American grain. We believe in immigrants in this country, and we don't believe in a religious test. And finally, it hurts us economically. When immigrants don't come to this country, it hurts our job creation, our job growth.
So, Janet, I'll come to you. Respond to that idea that it's un-American to put an order like this in place.
Well, I totally disagree with what he said. The Constitution is for us, for the U.S. citizens. Refugees or foreign nationals that come into the country are not protected under our Constitution. I don't believe that it will affect adversely our economy. I think that, you know, perhaps there needs to be a modification to protect permanent residents and people that are on special visas here as well, so that they can flow in and out of the country. But the president has a responsibility to protect us as a nation, and that's what this is about.
Mm. You know, Tom, as you know, there's a lot of concern here in Massachusetts, home to high-tech companies, universities, with students and employees from all around the world, including some of these countries that would be affected by this order. And there's concern over the order, even from people like Republican Governor Charlie Baker. I mean, he's expressed concern about the order. Is he wrong about that?
Well, just to follow up with what Janet said pertaining to Chuck Schumer's comments, the senator really ought to read the Constitution that he's so fond of quoting, because it's within the president's parameters to halt or determine which refugees and which immigrants get into this country and for how long. So he's well within his rights for doing so. But specific to the issue at hand, the United States has traditionally welcomed immigrants that will benefit the economy and of the United States. Now, if that pertains to if we need a number of scientists, engineers, or what have you in the Boston area or in Silicon Valley, then certainly they will come through the HB1 visas or whatever visas will be procured in the near future. So it will be based on the immigration quotas will be based on the need for the American economy. The governor certainly can raise his concerns, but they're really not concerns that are I think that are valid right now, in that it's still a work in progress. Right now, the administration is concerned with getting a handle on the physical threats to the United States from potential terrorists sneaking in via the refugees and via the immigrants from those seven countries.
Let me ask you this. I mean, it does seem like at the very least, if there's some legitimate criticism here, and this has come from some Republicans who even support President Trump, that there was a problem at least with the rollout. Folks were caught unaware, surprised. Janet, do you think at least the rollout might have been handled a little differently?
Yes and no. I mean, he has made it clear that his rolling out anything that pertains to national security is not something that he's going to date stamp and, you know, let the potential enemy know exactly what we're doing, as was the case under Obama. So I don't think he needed to give like a timeline, like, okay, this is going to be implemented in a week or 2 weeks or whatever. But I do think that it would have been perhaps more beneficial to communicate it from the Oval Office in a national televised, you know, this is what's happening as we speak. This is being implemented. That might have, you know, perhaps smoothed it over a little bit.
On the other hand, it's been pointed out that there have been no terrorist attacks in the United States from anyone from these seven countries. So there is that to consider as well.
But these are countries like Somalia, like Iraq, like Syria, and the other four countries do not have the type of vetting program, the type of security apparatus to prevent right. those potential terrorists from coming into the United States. And so that being said, those countries have to be put on that watch list, not because necessarily a lot of terrorists have emanated from those countries, but in order to prevent any terrorist acts from happening in the United States. In other words, we're not going to wait for the next bombing, shooting, for us to say, well, we should have vetted those countries more particularly. Donald Trump is a man of action, and we're dealing with right now preventive issues.
I want to move on and ask you about his cabinet. The Senate has just approved former Goldman Sachs executive Steven Mnuchin to serve as the next Secretary of Treasury. He's now one of several exceedingly rich business folks in the cabinet. That includes two billionaires, Wilbur Ross, who he picked as Commerce Secretary, and Betsy DeVos to head the Department of Education. The cabinet is mostly male, mostly white, very pro-business. Janet, does that square with his populist campaign message to drain the swamp?
Yes, I believe it does. I think it squares very nicely.
Tell me why.
Well, because they are not typical establishment type of appointments that you would expect. These are very experienced individuals in the area that they're being appointed, such as Mnuchin. And I think that, you know, especially being head of the Treasury, to have someone that has been extremely successful in the financial area, I don't see any issue with that at all. I think that that's going to be a good appointment.
Mm. Tom Mountain, same question to you.
Yes, these people are billionaires like Donald Trump was, and I wouldn't be surprised if most of them do not take a salary while they're in office. Now, bear in mind, these people have definitely taken a pay cut to do this, but they are true public servants, in the altruistic sense of the word. They really are. And they're here to serve, and they're here to serve because the president asked them to. They're in very interesting positions as cabinet secretaries where they would be able to enrich themselves now and in the future through lobbying, et cetera, but they won't need to do that. They're not going to do that because money is not an object for them. They don't care about it. They're just here to serve the American public, and after 4 to 8 years, then they'll retire or go back to their prior business life.
Well, I mean, Trump is a businessman, of course. A lot of his supporters, like you, liked that about him, and he seems comfortable surrounding himself with like-minded business people. But is there reason at all for concern that his administration might lack political experience, the kind of experience that might have handled the rollout of the executive order a little differently, the kind of experience that might have prevented a Michael Flynn from getting tripped up in the way that he did? What do you think? Are we undervaluing political experience, Janet?
No, I don't think so at all. He's surrounded by political experience. And I think this is what we elected. We wanted someone that was an outsider, someone that was a proven successful business person that will run the country, run government like a business. So I think that that's not an issue at all. He is appointing all the best of the best, such as like Mattis, who obviously has,
Secretary of Defense, former General John
right.
Mattis, right? Yeah.
Right. So
Tom Mountain, you agree with that?
Yeah, certainly. But bear in mind, this is the first time in the history of the United States that we've elected a president who has not come directly from government, or who has never served in government, or hasn't come from the ranks of the generals in the military. So this is really an extraordinary time in that. What you're seeing is President Trump is bringing in a lot of people who are virtually unknown to the American public because they weren't a part of either the Republican establishment in Washington. They weren't a part of the political scene. So inevitably, what you're going to see is these people are not polished politicians. They're not politicians at all. The administration is not. So there'll be missteps, there'll be mishaps, but so far they've been pretty minor, with maybe the exception of General Flynn, but that really is not a major thing. Resignations will inevitably happen.
I want to ask you both, as loyal supporters of Donald Trump, I have to assume that you will also hold him to a high standard, and that you want him to deliver on his promises going forward. So, Janet, I'll start with you. What's the test for him? In other words, is there a threshold issue that might cause you to stop supporting him? I mean, that is, I want him to accomplish X, Y, and Z, and if he doesn't, I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, where he has already started with his executive orders is it's faster than I had expected, and I'm thrilled about that. So as long as he does what he campaigned on, and I believe he will, if he were to get caught up in the political gamesmanship and succumb to that, then that would be almost becoming more of the same of what we tried to get rid of.
That would be disappointing to you. What about you, Tom? Yeah, what about you, Tom?
Well, my two big yardsticks are, one, the wall, and almost all of his supporters trumpeted the wall, and so I think that is going to happen, and it will be a great celebration when it does happen. There'll be roadblocks along the way, but inevitably that will happen. And the other thing, just coming from the, shall we say, the assignment that I had during the campaign, I was in charge of Jewish outreach for Eastern New England, primarily Massachusetts and New Hampshire. So I would like to see the American embassy finally move to Jerusalem, and I think that that's going to happen very soon. So when those two yardsticks are reached, and I will be, I am ecstatic now that Donald Trump is president, but I will pop the champagne, especially for each of those events when it happens.
And also, to add to that, I just will hope that people will take a pause, take a step back, give him a chance. He is our president. He's the president for all of us. And these protests and this outbursts and everything, we hopefully will subside. We really need to get a handle back on civility.
All right. Well, that's Janet Fogarty of Weymouth. She's a state committee woman for the Massachusetts Republican Party. She was a delegate for Donald Trump. And Tom Mountain, chairman of the Newton Republican City Committee. Tom, Janet, thank you both for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank
it's great
you,
to be here.
And stay with us. Coming up, Tufts philosopher Daniel Dennett with some big ideas about the evolution of the human mind. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.